Okay, so we are 6 lines down, Ayin, Vav, and Aleph. But we should probably reorient ourselves just for a second. So to remind ourselves, we had a Mishnah, right, on Ayin Hey, that went on to Ayin Hey, and Aleph went on to the base, which basically had, in the beginning of that Mishnah, had a machlokas, or two different cases, right? Case number one was, there's a girl, a woman who marries a man, right? And what they do kiddushin, and while they do kiddushin, right, she's still in her father's house. After kiddushin, she's still in her father's house, and then they find a mum, right? So they find the mum while she's still only mishinis arsa, only had done erusin, right? So what happens? So the father has to bring a ha'av tzarech lahavi raya shem mishin arsa hayibam mumin halalu. Right, the father has to prove that these mumin only happened once she became after they had kiddushin, right? But once she's in the husband's house, right? Once they did nisuin, and now she's with the husband. So what happens? And by the way, that's if the father and the guy wants to divorce her, the father wants to collect the ksuba, right? So he has to say, look, this happened once she was already married, and now I can collect the ksuba, right? But he has to bring the proof. The husband's still holding the money, right? But we have like a lot of explanations for what this is all about, right? But the second case is they already did nisuin, and now again the husband finds mumin, and again she has her ksuba document in her hand already, right? So in order for him to not have to pay, so what happens at that point? So she again now he has to bring her proof that the mum came once, you know, it was there before, it didn't happen once he was in his house. Fine. So we had two different explanations. How do you explain, like, one, you know, maybe what you know, the reisha is, what is Rabbi Shua, the Sefer, Rabbi Gamliel, like, different explanations for how to read these two cases, right? So the Gemara now is going to bring us a third way to read. We had another example. Rava said, kanimsu v'kanhayu, right? And the Sefer is kanimsu v'kanhayu, it depends on where it happens. Right, because one's happened in one person's house, other one it happened in the other person's house. Right, but now Rav Ashi is going to bring a different explanation, a different way to read this machlokes. It's not totally different, and it's based on. And we're going to see Rashi in a second. That we'll read Rashi actually right now. But let's read the Gemara and then we'll read Rashi. So Rav Ashi Amar. So Rav Ashi says, Reisha manala abba biyadcha, seifa manali biyadcha. So Rav Ashi is a very simple distinction, right? In the first case, what happens? The money, right, is in the father's, right, where the father is the one trying to, make the proof. And it's about money. It literally means the money is in the father's hands. It's supposed to be in the seifa, the money is in li, meaning the woman's hand, right? Meaning, who's making the case at this point? In the first case, the father's making the case because he wants to collect the ksuba because it's only been erisin. There has been no nisuin yet, so the father is the one trying to collect the money, as opposed to in the seifa where she's already had nisuin, where she's trying to collect her ksuba herself. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ashi Amar mehader nami la'ukma kula kiram gamliel." Right. So they now want to also explain that this entire Mishnah, it's not one's Rabbi Yeshua, one's Rabbi Gamliel. The whole Mishnah is Rabbi Gamliel, right? Who holds what? The chazaka, the gufa adifa, right? The whole machlokes is which chazakos matter more. But Rabbi Gamliel held, no, the chazaka of the guf, that she was initially a woman without mumin. Right? When she got married, we assumed she had no mum. Right? So the chazaka of the guf stays. Okay, so the chazaka of the guf stays. Why does she ever have to bring her proof? So I'll tell you the difference. Vereisha lahachi lo mahanya chazaka dufa. But in the reisha, her chazaka guf doesn't help. Why? According to Rabbi Gamliel, the chesed guf matters. Look, when we got married, there's nothing wrong with me. So you don't want to pay? You don't. That's up to you, right? You got to prove it. Otherwise, I have a chazaka. When we got married, I was fine. So it must be this happened afterwards, in which case, it's all on you, right? She says to the husband. But the difference is, who's making the taina? Right? In the first case, who's making the taina? Her father's making the taina. Or the taina is to help her father, right? Here, the Vishaina Tana Shallah, Ella Shalavia, why should Ksubas Arison La'av? Right? The Ksuba that comes from Arison, that goes to the father, doesn't go to the woman. Vahavale Manala Abba Biyadcha. Okay, so what? Vagabe Av, Lo Amrinan, Beguf Shallah, Didani Chaskas. It's a technicality, but it actually makes sense. It makes a lot of sense, right? When a person's making an argument for himself, so what do we say? Okay, if you have a chazaka that applies to you, then fine. Right? But if it applies to somebody else, it's not going to help. So you might argue, you could argue, obviously, that, yeah, but in this case, the chazaka is about her.
Or
she can't support herself. She can't support him with her cheskas haguf.
Right.
Because it's about her. And the money is going to him. Okay? So again, you could have made the argument, yeah, the whole conversation is about her. Fine. But bottom line is, the assumption is, says Ravashi, that Reisha is mana la'aba biyadcha, right? You're holding my father's money, right? And that's why he is, and that's why the cheskas doesn't work. But in the Seifa, in the case of Nisuin, it's mana li biyadcha. There she's saying, it's my money, I have a cheskas haguf. It's mine unless you prove. And there, all of a sudden, the husband has to bring the ride. Okay. Fine. So it's a nice, you know, kind of like simple distinction. The Gemara doesn't accept it right away. So says Gemara, Esvei. Esvei Rav Achab Reid Rav Avia L'Ravashi. So Rav Achab Reid Rav Avia attacks Ravashi. And it says, Mo de Remeir Bemumin Haru'in Lavo Ima Mi Beis Avia She'al Ha'av Lahavi Raya. So we have another case. And what other case? Hey, that when it comes to the case of a mum that is normal to come with her from her father's house, I mean, that would be like a mum that would be like reasonable, that you could find it, let's say, once she comes, you know, she had had it before, and now it's found in the husband's house. But it's like, you know, it would make sense that could have happened, that mum existed before. That what happens? That sha'ala av lahavi raya, right? But that's when. This is already when she's in her husband's house, right? But she's already with the husband. The father has to bring a raya. But why? What do you mean? In that case, they've already had nisuin, right? So why in that case does Rabbi Meir say that she has to, again, that the husband has to, that the father has to bring a raya? She's already living with the husband. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mother Rabbi Meir, see where Rashi is? Mm-hmm. Right, even though it says that in that case it's a tosefta that said that she was now already in the husband's house, right? The husband has to bring the proof, meaning that in general, meaning even though generally behold, like we did in our Mishnah, once you go to the husband's house, okay, so now the husband has to bring the proof. However, but when it comes to these other types of movement that are, I guess, like more typical to come up, then in that case the father has been arrived, right? And the assumption at this point is when we say this case, so the assumption is any normal movement. That's what the Gemara assumes we're talking about, right? And Shalavi Raya says Rashi, right? I mean the father has to bring a proof, even though she's now living with the husband. Right? But why? If you just said once she's in the husband's house, now the ksuba goes to her. So let her use her chesed zakuf for her own money. That should be fine. So what's going on here? So answers the Gemara. No, right. And basically, the answer is it's giving an example. It's a unique case. Right, hacha ma'askinan bi yiseres. Okay. So what's the yiseres? Yiseres is an extra toe.
It's his finger.
Yeah. So look. Oh yeah. So look. So Rashi says etzba yisera. The like lamemar la acha eris and nolad, right? It's an extra appendage, right? Some of the Rishonim assume it means toe, though, not a finger. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if it was a finger, he would have seen it, yeah. Right? So it's an extra. She only wears closed toes, you know. So he didn't see it before, and now she, you know, she's never wearing flip flops, and so he never saw it. The finger, he would have noticed, right? So it must be a yiseres. Right? Es yiseres, the lake lamemar. Actually, but you're right. According to Rashi, it sounds like it could even be a finger, which is hard because then. How would you not have seen it before? But okay. But an extra finger or toe, you could never argue, oh, it must have come afterwards. Right. You're clearly born with it, right? Something she's clearly born with, right? So that's something that's obviously came from before, and that's why it's on the father to bring the raya. And by the way, what would the raya be? The raya would be that he saw it already. And the raya wouldn't be, it didn't exist. That's impossible. The raya would be, what do you mean? You must have seen this, and you were mocha, presumably. The point is, so that's why in this case, Asoka Rashi, yeah, Yisera my raya. So look at Marshall, yeah, but when it comes to Yisera, what's the proof? My si raya de ra'av v'nifayisbo, right? What aim is he going to bring? She had it the whole time. The answer is that he have aid them that he saw it and that he was okay with it, right? So if you have edim like that, so then it's not a, you know, it's not an objective mum that would have disqualified her no matter what. No, it disqualified her if the husband was surprised. But if you knew about it already and was mekadesh and did nisuin anyways, so then it's fine. So that would be the case. Fine. But the bottom line is that's why Rav Ashi's distinction stands. Right? You could make the argument that Rav Ashi is fine. You know, his argument is fine. That the difference between the two cases is manala abba biyadcha or manali biyadcha. That basically the chazas aguf only works when it's my money to, you know, when I'm the one collecting the money, so then I can be the one to use my chesed aguf. So I'm collecting for myself, and someone else has the chesed aguf. That's a different story. Mm-hmm. Fine. Okay, next Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hamachlif Para Bichamor. Don't worry, we're not going to get now all of a sudden just into. Yeah, exactly. But we're going to use this as a we're going to connect the Torah Mishnah in a second. But yes, what's the case? The case is what happens if a person makes a deal, right? I will sell you I'll trade you my cow, and you'll give me your donkey. Okay, so we swap a cow for a donkey. Umashach bala chamor es hapara, and the bala chamor, the owner of the chamor, does a meshicha on the para. Okay. One of the rules is, I think Rashi is going to say this. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi didn't explain the whole thing, but the bottom line is, if we do a deal, me and you are selling, we're going to exchange animals, right? So even if both animals aren't present, if it's a swap, and I do a kinyan meshicha on your animal, so I pull the cow, right? Even if my donkey is in my house or in my courtyard, wherever. The moment that I do meshicha on the cow, the donkey becomes yours. Oh. Right, so not only does the cow become mine, but again, the deal was that it was a swap. So the moment I do kinyan meshicha on the cow, you automatically are kona the chamor. Okay, so that's the assumption. Mm-hmm. So what happens? Look at Rashi. Umashach bala chamor es hapara. So again, the owner of the donkey. I'm the owner of the donkey, and I pulled your cow. So what happens? I'm kona that cow. V'achamor hayav beis ba'alav, right? And the donkey is still in my house, right? V'tzna b'kiddushin kol anased damim ba'acher kevin shezach hazeh shemashach echad mehem nischayev chaver ba'onsei chalipin b'chomakum shehem. So what's the rule? Not only do you become the owner of the donkey, right? Now that I pulled the cow, now you become the owner of the donkey, but what happens if something happens in between when you get the donkey? In between this moment and when you come get it and something happens to the donkey, you are now chayiv. Right. Sorry, right? That's your donkey and it got messed over. I had already done the kinyan meshicha on the cow. So now if the donkey dies, right? Look at Rashi, right? So now what happens? So, let's go back to the Gemara. So Amar Huda Amar Shmuel. Hamachlif par b'chamor u'mashach bala chamor esapar. Fine. So the owner of the donkey now does a meshicha on the cow. V'lo hispik bala par limshoch es hachamor. Ad shemeis hachamor, right? And then the other person, right? You wanted to come take the chamor. You didn't get a chance. You came to pick him up, and he's already dead, mm-hmm. Right? So what happens? Al bal hachamor lahavi raya shahaya chamor okayim b'shas mishichas para. Right? So who has to make the proof? Right? So it's the owner, me, right? The owner of the donkey, the person who's keeping the donkey still in his house, he has to bring a proof that the chamor was alive at the time when we did the kinyan mishicha on the para. When I purchased the cow, the chamor was still alive. So if I had, you know, cameras in my house or whatever, actually it'd be a good child. The camera's enough. Right? But let's say I have edim. Who are at home. And they say, yeah, it was 1:47 p.m. We were petting the donkey in the backyard. So we know he was alive. And fine. But again, it would be on the owner of the donkey to prove that. Right? Okay, because you could have argued, I don't know, maybe the guy who purchased the donkey has to prove it. And why does the Baal Chamor have to prove it? Okay, look at Rashi. Ad shemeis hachamor, the first one I learned in Rashi. Ze omer ad shalom mashachta es parasi meis chamor. And one of them says that, well, you know, before you actually did Mashiach on my par, your chamor died. And it's your thing that died. Ze omer, meaning in which case give me my cow back and you can keep your dead donkey. The other one says no, it's only after I did the meshicha on the para and the chamor was yours, and it's your chamor that died. Okay, so continues the Gemara, and it says the Gemara vitana tuna kala, right? So the Tana says that basically the same rule applies to a kala. Obviously, we have to explain what that means. It doesn't mean it in a mean way, right? But it's the same thing applies to a kala. What does that mean? Right? Rashi says, Tana de Masnisen, I mean, the Tana of our Mishnah, the Ivan Mume Kala Misayali thinks. So the author of our Mishnah thinks, right? He said once that this case of the donkey and the cow is supportive of our Mishnah. So Rashi says, "Hey Kala, what are you talking about? What case?" Right? Rashi says, "Hey Milsa de Masnisen Misayasa." And what case of ours is being supported by this case? So Ilema, if you're going to say Kala Vives Avia, if you're going to say it's the case where the Kala is still in her husband's house, right, which is the case where they've done Erison. Mm-hmm. And when they've done Erison, what happens? The guy did Erison with her, but now finds a mum, and who has to bring the Raya? The Raya has to be brought by the father at that point, right? If he wants to collect the Ksuba. So if you want to say Kala Vives Avia, me dummy, what do you mean? What's the... You know, me dummy hasam, right there. How's that case the same? There hasam maisi av raya, right? Umafik. There in that case, the father has to bring the proof, right? And then he can collect the ksuba from the husband, right? Hacha maisi balachamor raya umokim, right? But in this case we just quoted, what happens? It's the owner of the chamor who has the chamor in his house, right? Who brings a proof to do what? To hold on to the cow. To the new cow, mm-hmm. Right? So it's not really the same, right? Because in the case of the Kala, he is trying to be motzi mamon from the husband, right? He doesn't have the money yet. He brings proof that the mum happened later. He is motzi mamon. In this case, the guy's already done the mashicha on the para.
So he owns the cow.
So he has the cow already, right? So he's just trying to keep that which is in his in his property, still in his property, right? Yeah. Look at Rashi. Mi dami hasam. Din hu should tzarech lahavi raya. I get it over there. The guy has to bring a proof. Sharei hu hamotzi mechavero. He's the one bringing, you know, taking the money out, taking from somebody else. Hilkach maisi raya. Therefore, you got to bring the proof. Umafik mamona, and then you can take the money out, you know, from the husband. Umisham atabal lomo rezesh muchzak beparizu. You want to bring a proof to this guy who's already holding on to the cow. Veomed veata omer naisi raya venokim mamosh beyado. Oh, see, look, now you have to bring a proof that you have to keep it. That's not the same case. So I can't. So if you want to bring a proof from our Mishnah, that's not the proof to bring. That's not true. Okay, fine. So Amar Rabbi Abba, no kala bebeis chamiha. No, so it's not the case of the kala who's still in her father's house. It's the kala who's now in her father-in-law's house. It really just means when she's married to the husband, right? At that point, right? So it's the opposite case, right? So no. So Rabbi Abba says no. The case is the kala who's already married. They've done nisun already. Okay. So you want to say that? I hear you. But what's Valkasi lo dami? But I'll tell you why it still doesn't make sense, right? Why? Hasam ba'al maisi raya umar lelechazke da'av. Right? What's happening? And again, you have to like remove from your head for a second what we just said about Ravashi, right? About this, who has the chazaka?
Right.
We split the chazaka before. I love that we're saying the same thing here. Right? The chazaka of the woman might still be the father's chazaka at this point, right?
Right.
So here, what happens? Right, hasam balam baal maisi raya umar lelechaske da'av. Or what happens in this case? The husband brings a raya that she did not have this mum beforehand, right? And what does he do? He destroys the cheses haguf that the father had. Right, the father's using the cheses haguf that she wasn't born with this, right? Hacha, but in this case, in the case of the chamor and the parah, what happens? Hacha bala chamor maisi raya umukim chazke biyade. What does he do? The bala chamor says, right? No, the chamor was already dead at the time that you. Oh, sorry, no. The bala chamor says it was still alive when I did mashicha on your cow, right? And what does he do? He maintains his chazaka that what was the donkey like before? The donkey was always alive. See, the chazaka was alive, and to assume that I'm just bringing proof that it stayed alive, mm-hmm. Right? Or I bring whatever. I'm bringing some other proof to maintain my chazaka that the donkey was always alive. So again, it's not the same case. One's a guy proving something to attack someone else's chazaka. This is a proof to maintain your own chazaka. So it's still not a good proof.
Right.
Fine.
Even though you end up in the same place, it's right?
Right, but it's all about the like. It's all about the theory, yeah. Right? Is that the right way to say it? It's all about the theory is kind of correct, right? It's all about the mechanisms. Because at the end of the day, you could just yell. It's actually genius because otherwise you just yell at each other, right? I'm sure I don't know anything about law. But I'm assuming that in law is the same. There's certain principles, right, which have to be operating. Otherwise, it's just chaos. Right, so the rules of chazaka and showing chazaka and bringing a proof, etc. All these things come; these principles are necessary because otherwise, again, you just I don't know. I think it was my time. You think it was your. You know, how are we ever going to make a distinction?
Especially and then
the, yeah, how are you going to prove it? So how are you going to prove it? So you need to have these rules, these mechanisms in place. Otherwise, it just it leads to total chaos. Like on the one hand, it seems like so technical. On the other hand, and it is. But on the other hand, it's the tool by which we can solve these problems. Otherwise, we have no mechanism. Okay, so fine. So neither of these work. So Amar of Nachman, Avram Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kala Bebeis Aviha. No. So it is a case where the Kala is still in her father's house. Ula Kiddushin. And it's still a case of Kiddushin. Velo Tema Aliba Demanda Amar Kiddushin Lav Litibuin Nitnu. Okay, so what's happening here? So, what's the case? So let's take a look at Rashi for a second. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak kal beis avia l'kiddushin. Reisha de masnisin. So it's our first case, right? The Reisha of our Mishnah siate, right? That's what is helpful for the case of the chamor and the parah. Fine. Udematil havas raya al ha'av, right, where you place the requirement, again, of bringing the raya on the father. Afal pi shecheskes haguf etzlo, right, meaning, what happens in that case? The father is the one who has the cheskes haguf. Right? His daughter, right, she presumably never had a moon before, right? And then what happens? And now, but you still say, in the case of Kiddushin, he has to bring the proof. Right? Ukarebi elazar da amar, the Amar Rabbi Yeshua, right? This is when Rabbi Elazar originally read our Mishnah and said that approach is the approach of Rabbi Yeshua, right? Like we believe the Kala, whatever, right? And the Seif also they make a distinction for to bring a requirement on the father, but even though the father didn't, no, the Safik didn't happen in his house. Okay, so the point being that. It's kalav beisavia ula kiddushin in the sense that he still has to bring a proof, right? Even though it's the chazakah belongs to him. I guess this is reading into the case like Rabbi Yeshua would have held that no matter what, the father has to bring the proof, presumably, in all cases. Okay. Ula kasha lacha, and if you're going to say me, you're going to ask me a question, right? Hahi raya lahotzihi, right? And if you tell me what you mean, but that raya is to be motzi mamon, right? The kasha was, if you're going to, it can't be the same. Because in the case of the Kiddushin, the father brings a raya to be motzi mamon, as opposed to the case of the par and the chamor, when the guy brings a raya to keep the thing he already has, right? So if they're going to tell me that, what's the difference? So the kashcha he raya lahotzihi, no ha raya tzrichalo. He does need that raya. Why? Afla akevlo ha Kiddushin shebiyado. Even just to hold on to, and this is the difference. The father. Is what happens when the man does kiddushin with the woman? We just think, oh, did the kiddushin? No, the kiddushin was money. I mean, he gave her money, and the kesef kiddushin in her hands, right, can actually be reversed at times. There's different opinions whether the kesef kiddushin really belongs to her forever, or it's dependent on the nisuin taking place afterwards. So, she'im lo yavi raya yachzirem vizu lahachzik hi biyado. So what's the difference? Meaning. You could argue, and there's such an opinion, that once Kiddushin takes place, until Nisuin takes place, she's just kind of holding on to the money, right? But it really, if Nisuin never takes place, she'd have to return the money
back to the
husband. So therefore, the purpose of his raya here is also to maintain something he's already been mukhzak of. Mm-hmm. It's not just to be motzi mamon.
She never took possession.
Well, he gave her the money. Because of Kiddushin. It's after Kiddushin. After Kiddushin, okay. He gave her the money. Harav Kiddushli, B'tavazu, whatever it was. So she's holding on to that ring. She's holding on to Kesef, whatever she's holding on to. And at that point, she may have to relinquish it if they don't do Nisuin. Mm-hmm. So if that's true, this is Machlokes. The point being, if that's true, now your question, the question before was, but wait a second, he's bringing a raya just to hold the case of the chamor, the baal chamor, he's bringing a raya just to hold on to the para now. And it's just, in our case, he's also doing the same thing. Again, there's two different items here. There's the kesef kiddushin and there's the money of the ksuba. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the kesef kiddushin, his raya is to hold on to that kesef kiddushin. So therefore, he's also bringing your raya to stay a muhzak. Mm-hmm. Fine. So that's why that's the argument of, you know, that the case of our Mishnah could still be enough of a proof, at least for the case of the Chamor and the Para, because in this case also, the guy is bringing a raya to be maintain something that he already is the Mukhsak. Fine. Is that they add this other piece and don't tell me about these other opinions that I guess we'll talk about next time. To explain those cases. Okay. All right.